For our scripture reading this afternoon, let us turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 17, and we will read the verses 1 through 13. John 17, the verses 1 through 13. And as we read God's holy word, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So far the reading of the Word of God. And the text of the sermon is found in John chapter 10, verse 16. As you know, we studied several aspects of the parable about the Good Shepherd. And this afternoon we will study the 16th verse of John chapter 10. And there we read God's holy word in the text of the sermon. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Beloved congregation, who did you expect to attend the worship service this afternoon? Well, I expect everyone who is mentally and physically able to come. And it saddens us if certain people are missing while they have the obligation to worship with us. And as a congregation, we gather around God's Word and we are thankful that we can do so. But did you also expect some outside of the congregation to attend? Or do we not know how to act or what to say if strangers gather with us? I think we're not so used to have many strangers attending the service. And I think it will happen so now and then here, as it also happens so now and then in Hamilton. But should we not be more desirous to welcome guests? Because we hear the Lord Jesus say, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Who are these other sheep? Could be someone from our neighborhood who attends a worship service and is touched by God's word. If the Lord would bring many of them in our church building, then soon our building would be too small. So we pray for this. And shall we pray more for this? Since it is also according to the Lord's prayer. Do we look forward to it? Lord, will thou fulfill thy promise in our days that other sheep will be brought in by thee under the preaching of thy word so that thy name will be glorified. The theme of the sermon is the good shepherd continues his shepherding work. First of all, he has other sheep. Secondly, he brings them in. And thirdly, he unites them. The good shepherd continues his shepherding work. He has other sheep, he brings them in, and he unites them. After the Lord Jesus has spoken about the mystery of the love between the Father and the Son as a picture of the love between the good shepherd and his flock, he continues his speech by pointing to the scope of God's kingdom. That's something the Lord Jesus needed to address as a contrast to the view held by the spiritual leaders in his days. And in a way, the Lord Jesus continually opposes the convictions and conduct of the spiritual leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes. The Lord Jesus exposes their hypocrisy by hinting at Ezekiel 34. This is the well-known chapter where we read about the Lord's accusations against Israel's unfaithful spiritual leaders. They're called shepherds that are only concerned about feeding themselves. They do not care for the flock which is entrusted to them. But how different is the Lord Jesus? He is the good shepherd, and he gives his life for his sheep. He will be slain so that his sheep will be granted life. The spiritual leaders were not only feeding themselves, they were also limiting the kingdom of God, because according to their understanding, only they and a few others, notable ones, were eligible to enter the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus turns their view upside down by depicting them as hirelings. They do not belong to the kingdom of God as long as they refuse to become a sheep of the good shepherd. In chapter 9 we read that they excluded the healed blind born man by casting him out of the temple. That's actually the background of this parable. But the Lord Jesus includes him by seeking and finding him, since he was in need of the good shepherd. And now the Lord Jesus even enlarges the scope of the kingdom of God when he says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. I have other sheep." And what the Lord Jesus says here is another surprise. He does not only say that he is the good shepherd who has come to seek and find that which is lost in Israel. He does not only go to the outcasts of society. He also says that he has sheep beyond the borders of Israel. He is also a shepherd of the Samaritans and to those who live in Tyrus and Sidon and many others. He first came to his own people, but his own did not receive him, says John in chapter 1, verse 11. And the Lord Jesus will fulfill the promise which was already made to Abraham and his seed. What? God had promised to Abraham that he and his seed shall be a blessing to the nations. A blessing to the nations. But Israel could not be a blessing to the nations because of their unbelief. But what Israel failed to do shall be fulfilled by the Lord Jesus. He has come to fulfill God's promises. And the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise as well. He will be a blessing to the nations by His suffering and death. And He will merit salvation for the world. He can say, I have other sheep. It's remarkable that He says that He has other sheep. They are His already. He does not say, I hope I will have other sheep as well. Neither does He say, I expect I will have other sheep. No, He makes clear that there is no doubt He has other sheep. He states it as a matter of fact. Happily, the Lord Jesus can make such a firm statement. Imagine that the number of sheep would depend on our willingness to be saved by Him. Then ultimately no one would become His sheep. No one would stand up and raise his hand, beseeching the Lord, Will Thou save me? Will Thou be my shepherd? No one. Because by nature we want to pursue our own desires and plans. By nature we are on the run for the Lord. We do not want to be exposed to our sin and misery. We do not want to become a poor and needy sinner who is in desperate need of the Lord's intervention. And therefore to belong to His flock is a miracle of grace. Though we do not ask for the Lord, He does ask for us. Though we turn our back on the Lord, He turns His face in mercy to us. The Lord Jesus has a fault, and He pays special attention to His sheep. Well, how did the Lord Jesus receive His sheep? Well, we read that they were given to Him. That's also what we read in the portion from of scripture reading. That's what He says also in other places in the Gospel, according to John chapter 6 verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And in the high priestly prayer He recorded in chapter 17, He emphatically speaks about the given ones. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. When were they given to Him? Well, in eternity past. In the silence of eternity, the Father and the Son agreed on the plan of redemption. And the Son said to the Father, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. And the Father has given the elect to His Son. And all those who are given to the Son will be redeemed. They are His. And they will never be taken away from Him. And other sheep I have. Where are they? Well, they are in Israel and beyond. They are everywhere and in every country. The other sheep are also those who will be brought in sometime in the future. The gospel of the forgiveness of sin is not only for the Jews, but also for the Greek. And Jesus Christ has His sheep all over the world. And because of His finished work, there is no difference. Paul says in Romans 10, For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. So the wall between the covenant people, Israel, and the heathen nations has been broken down because of Christ's finished work on the cross. Paul says in Ephesians 2:14, For He is our peace, that is the Lord Jesus, He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And because of this joyous reality, the gospel has been spread all over the world. For this reason, it has also become to Canada. Ever realized that? Up to present day, the Lord Jesus has sheep which are not of His fold. Not yet. There are still many who must be brought into the fold. And all those who are brought in come under His shepherding care. He cares for His flock by the means of the preaching of His word. When the Lord comes over to us, He applies His word to our hearts so that we may believe that He has said, "You are mine. I have broken my body and shed my blood for the propitiation of all your sin. I have purchased you, and you cannot be snatched out of my hand. No enemy, no evil, no sin can separate you from my love." Do you know of this miracle of grace? When you get a sight of Him, you will be amazed at His beauty. Then you agree that He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd. His goodness, His love and mercy go beyond your understanding. He took your guilt and sin, which led Him to the cursed cross. And you received His righteousness by which you can live in communion with God again. Maybe you do not feel anything of this. These are nothing more but that these are only words for you. But you have never experienced this miracle of grace. Or you feel that you are in need of that gracious work of Him. Well, you may ask for this, my dear friend. And at the same time, lean on His word, the word of the Lord Jesus, when He says, "And I have other sheep." Because what He has will never be taken away from Him. He is faithful in spite of our unfaithfulness. Be not despondent because of a lack of experience, or because of a lack of sweet emotions. Not our emotions are decisive. But He who reveals Himself to you as the good shepherd, who has stretched out arms to poor and needy sinners, and all His own are safe in His nail-pierced hands. And under the preaching of the gospel, the Lord directs us to the only foundation of our peace with God. Do you struggle with these matters? You do not know whether you are His or not. You don't know where you stand, inside or outside the fold. Well, let this word be your breeding ground. Lord, I have heard that Thou hast sheep which are still not in the fold. Lord, I am still outside of the fold, I fear. Then wilt Thou graciously bring me in? Wilt Thou work mightily with Thy Spirit in my heart? Work regeneration, repentance and faith. Oh, remember Thy covenant of grace. Make me to be a sheep of Thy flock. For Thou art the good shepherd. And you know that prayer will certainly be heard. But how do we become sheep of His flock? Seeing we have no merits on our part, if by nature we are not willing nor able to come, then how will we ever reach Him? Well, Jesus says, "Them also I must bring." That's what we want to consider in our second point. The good shepherd brings His flock. He brings them in. I must bring. That is His work. And His work alone. Lord Jesus says in John 6 verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." His sheep will be drawn to Him. All true believers will confess this truth by His drawing love. By His drawing love, I came to Him. He invites His sheep to Himself, since they are His. Though by nature I am stubborn, though I do not love Him as I ought, though I have sinned away every blessing, I still come to Him, since He draws me. I was drawn because of Him who is the perfect Savior for sinners. I was drawn by Him because of the love which He has poured out in my heart. Them also I must bring. He must bring them in. He must. Since this is the will of the Father. He must bring them, since they are given to Him. He must bring them, since He loves them with an everlasting love. Congregation, behind that word must, we know there's a compelling necessity. We hear a divine authority. And no one can resist His saving grace. He comes to all His own and He saves them. Think of the Samaritan woman of John 4. Before the Lord Jesus met with her at the well, we read in verse 4, and He must needs to go through Samaria. It was not because there was no other way to travel back to Galilee. There were many routes, even preferable ones. But He had to go through Samaria. Because of that sinful woman. She was one of the sheep who was not brought into the fold yet. But He sought and found her and brought her. And that happened after He had an uncovering and comforting conversation with her. He opened her heart and worked with His Spirit, regeneration, repentance and faith. So that she exclaimed to her citizens, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Everyone included in His fold is brought because of God's sovereign will. And the will of the Father, congregation, is also the will of the Son. Is also the will of the Son. The Son is filled with the same compassion as the Father. He has the same desire and the same love. He's also just and holy. And therefore He cannot simply... His sheep cannot be simply brought to the fold. They need to be ransomed. Blood needs to be shed in order to deliver His sheep. God's wrath over sin needs to be satisfied, and therefore the Lord Jesus gave up His life as a ransom for many. He delivers His people, and He will defend them, since they are bought by a price. Do you see that this must in our text demands Christ's full and complete involvement with body and soul? He eagerly brings sinners to His fold. He even is willing to sacrifice His life to bring them in. And therefore the Lord Jesus could say to His Father in the high priestly prayer, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. How will His sheep be brought in? Well, by the preaching of the gospel. Yeah, by the preaching of the gospel. We read further in our text, and they shall hear my voice. And the hearing of His voice is a result of being brought to the fold. All those who get to know the shepherd by faith will hear his voice. And only when we become a sheep of his flock through faith, we will recognize the voice of the Lord Jesus. And we will obey him in principle. But how does the Lord Jesus bring his sheep in? How do we believe? Yeah, by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit opens our hearts, and he grants enlightened eyes of understanding, and he bends our will. And he does so by God's word. We read in Scripture that faith is by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Before the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, he commissioned the disciples to preach the gospel to all creatures. And the commission to preach is part of God's plan of redemption. In Luke 24, we hear the Lord Jesus say farewell to his disciples and instructs them as follow: thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should, it's the same word, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Should be preached. That's according to the will of God. And that's the, let's say, the royal way by which he leads his sheep to the fold of his kingdom. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21 that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And therefore it is of utmost importance to find ourselves under the preaching of the gospel. It's the means by which God leads his people. It's a very simple means. It's a very weak means. And yet in the hands of the Lord a very powerful means. You may have great expectation from the preaching of the gospel. And I hope you pray during the week that the Lord will bless the preaching of the gospel. Servants of the Lord need to be strengthened and led by the Lord in order to preach God's truth. The Lord mercifully sends messengers of the most joyous tiding to whom he will and at what time he pleases, says the canons of the Lord. Have you experienced the preaching of the gospel to be such a powerful means by which the Lord worked in your heart? God's word needs to be opened because we need to hear his voice. And in a way, it doesn't matter who preaches. Whether Paul was preaching or Apollos, Peter or Barabbas, what matters is that we hear his word. Preach. And when the Lord applies his word to your heart, then you hear his voice. You hear the word preached to you personally. And you hear that the word is addressed to you. Not by the minister, but by the Lord. That's how the Lord Jesus brings his sheep to the fold and how he maintains them. So the question is, do you love his word? And do you love to sit under the preaching of his word? And if not, then you can impossibly be a sheep of the fold. No, I do not say that you are always desirous to his word. It's to our shame. Also to a minister's shame. That at times, God's people feel that they are numb to the preaching of the gospel. So many times we must confess, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. When the Lord applies his word to our hearts, then we experience the joy of salvation. Oh, you want to hear more about the Savior of sinners. You want to know more about the Good Shepherd and his ministry. The preaching of the gospel can only satisfy your soul. And at times, you cannot get enough of it. And of course, the Lord does not depend on the preaching of the word to bring his sheep to the fold, but it pleases him to work in this manner. By the preaching, he reaches his sheep. That's his common method. We read in Acts 18 that the Lord said to Paul that he should not leave Corinth because of the resistance he experienced by his preaching. He says to Paul, "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And Paul received liberty to preach the gospel. He felt compelled. He had to. Since God says that he has other sheep which he must bring in. And he says to the same Corinthians later in his second epistle, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, and also for the love of Christ constraineth us." Congregation, the Lord is so serious about our soul's well-being. He preaches to you the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is His will that all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are united in one flock, united with one shepherd. Let us consider this further in our third point. The Good Shepherd unites. We read at the close of verse 16, "And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And we wonder how. Well, that's because of that one sacrifice on the cross. His people are united by one sacrifice. His suffering and death means the reconciliation of all his own. No one will be left. No one of his own. They're all cleansed by the same blood and renewed by the same Spirit. Now what then is the manifestation of unity? Well, that can be said in one word. Namely, love. It's actually stated in the next verse, verse 17, that we read, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again." The Lord Jesus lays down His life. He says that this is according to the will of the Father. The Son has no other desire than to do the will of the Father. That is what He does out of perfect love to His Father. He's in perfect harmony with the will of God, and therefore He suffered and died and rose again from the dead because of this perfect obedience. The Father loves His Son, and the Father and the Son are one. Now we return to our text. "And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." The shepherd brings all his own to the fold, and it will be a perfect harmony. Therefore they will love one another. There will also be perfect harmony between the flock and the shepherd, since he will conform them to his own image. And that unity will be expressed by mutual love. So where love is, there is unity and there is harmony. When there is no harmony, there is no love. These two, harmony and love, go together. Since these matters are always under Satan's attack, the apostle seriously warns in his first epistle, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." If you're looking for a trait of those who are brought by Christ to the fold, then you find here the most important one. Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." It's a serious matter. if there is dissent and tension in a congregation, if there is no harmony, if there is no harmony, the love has disappeared. But when our heart is filled with love, then we suffer from disharmony in the church, and we will seek to serve one another and strive for harmony. But what will lead to harmony and mutual love? Well, to be kind to one another? No. Yeah, of course, you should do that, but that's not the foundation. Only communion with God through Christ will lead to harmony and mutual love. If we commune with Christ, then we are in total agreement with Christ and love all that is related to the Lord and His service. But if we fall into sin, if we are left to our pride or selfishness, then discontent will overtake our lives. Love will wax cold and harmony will be missing. The Lord Jesus says, "And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Maybe you think, "I do not see much of this. I see a divided fold, scattered about over many churches and denominations. In our days I hear about disharmony in many churches." And who knows? We don't know, but with so much tension in the world and in other churches, who knows how close we are to disharmony? Oh, may the Lord prevent us from that. But you're right. In this lifetime, you sometimes wonder what is left of that one fold. Where do we find true unity in spirit? We would rather secede than unite, church history shows. And I believe that in this lifetime, that will not change. It's a sad observation after 2 years of Christianity. But we should not stop at such a sad conclusion. The Lord Jesus says, "It shall be one fold and one shepherd." It shall. It shall. Because the day will come soon that all division and disharmony in churches will belong to the past when He brings His work of redemption to completion. And then no discontent, and then no discordant note will be heard, because God will be all in all. And when God is all in all, then there is perfect harmony and perfect love. In this dispensation, we are called to exercise communion with Christ and with one another through Christ. Now we are called by the Lord to love one another and to forbear one another, to serve one another. And then we esteem other better than ourselves. Paul says in Philippians 2, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Congregation, let us take the Lord's admonition to heart. It's easier to raise discord than to love one another. The former is according to our own flesh. The latter is according to the Spirit, for which we need grace. And to act according to the Spirit, that is His work. Therefore, we need so much to be in prayer, humbling ourselves before the Lord. May He keep us from disharmony. May we be molded and shaped into the image of Christ. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Watch and pray, because the last days iniquity will abound. And as a result, the love of many will wax cold. May the Lord have mercy upon your congregation and upon our churches in North America and in Europe. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Christ is the head, which has one body. And the body has distinctive members. But did we not confess? Do we not confess that all who are by true faith engrafted into Christ shall be all together one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake? God's people are united in Christ, and nothing can separate them from Him, because there is a bond of love laid in our hearts, a love for which He has shed His precious blood. Now, how can a congregation then grow? How can God's people grow in harmony and love? Well, it's very simple. It's not something we can organize. It's the work of Christ, who is the good shepherd. That's a promise from the good shepherd himself. That is what he will work by his Spirit. And a foreshadowing of this promise is reflected in our daily exercising of love to one another. How do we learn that? By listening to His voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd. Congregation, that is most critical in the relationship between the Good Shepherd and His flock. In verse 27, the Lord Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." By word and spirit, we learn to follow Him, to obey Him, to die to self, and to live out of Christ's merits. It shall be one flock because of the Good Shepherd. And the promise of one flock and one shepherd is guaranteed in Christ. He has purchased His church by His blood. And now He is in heaven, making ceaseless intercession for His own flock. And how can we be so sure? Well, listen to the high priestly prayer. The Lord Jesus prays for His church every day, also today, even now. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. He continues His shepherding work in heaven. And also in heaven He says to His Father, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." Hear Him pray to the Father, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on Me, through their word," that is the word of the apostles, which they preach. "And they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee. That they also may be one in Us. That the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me." And so Christ shall lead His flock home. He still pleads for His own work and for His own sheep. He holds His cars up before the Father, since He has paid for each sheep of His flock. And in this lifetime He brings His sheep together by the preaching of His word. And by word and spirit He dwells among us. And all those who are truly gathered in His name are one. And He will bring to the flock those who are His till the day of days. And then the last one will be brought in. The visible church lacks unity. And that should grieve us. But His living church does not lack unity. Not because they are such a nice people. But because of Christ who lives in them and they in Him. That mystical union between the believer and Christ. Oh, may this comfort us when we face this harmony. Let us pray for increasing love and harmony in Christ, so that the world will see, behold, how they love one another. Thus will His name be glorified. And let us therefore live from the riches of this shepherd and take the apostles' admonition to heart, my little children. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. So we close with prayer. Lord, also this afternoon Thou hast spoken to us, whether we realize that or not. But could it be that we all may hear Thy voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd, and that for that reason we hate sin and love to do Thy will, that we are in desperate need of Thy precious blood, O Lord Jesus Christ, Thou Good Shepherd who has been slain, so that Thy sheep, Thy flock, will be saved. And that no sin, no Satan, no evil can snatch us out from Thy pierced hands. Lord, will Thou comfort Thy people, admonish them if necessary, and lead them in further knowledge of Thee, and that they may increasingly get to know Thee better, and also themselves. Lord, will Thou fulfill Thy word, bring Thy word to completion, so that it shall be one flock and one sheep. Will Thou draw many to Thee. Have mercy upon those who are still outside of the fold. Also in this congregation, O Lord, remember them and work with Thy Spirit in the hearts of many. We thank Thee that we receive this day out of Thy hand, that a congregation could come together on another time, and that Thou hast enabled Thy servant to preach Thy word. We pray for Thy blessing and for this week, upon this week. Also, when the meal members hope to meet tomorrow evening, will Thou bless that meeting. And may we all stand in amazement at Thy governing grace. We pray for Thy blessing upon the labors of the consistory and of Pastor Prose as he assists the brothers with pastoral by providing pastoral care to many of the congregation. Will Thou remember this congregation? And will Thou remember us as a family as we part ways? We pray for traveling mercies. And could it be that we may meet in due time? We thank Thee for the many blessings which we have received from Thee, also in this hour. And will Thou forgive our sins and hear us for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.